you know, tough times all around during the pandemic. It's been, I think it's been especially tough for these budding entrepreneurs. We have so many of them, you know, around North Texas. It's, you know, what do you do? Facilities and their co-working spaces and access to capital. A serial entrepreneur that's here is Shane Long. He co-founded and was the CEO for BitBoys. He did time in, as an entrepreneur in residence for famous Austin Ventures. Right now he is president of a company that used to be called, I think, Seven Tablets, and it's now just 7T. Shane Long joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Hey, David. Thanks for having me on today. I really appreciate
it. So I got to go back to the, wait, let me, what happened to the tablets? So 7T is now 7T. What do you guys do?
You know what? The company was founded as a mobile company. We started as a mobile dev company doing, you know, killer mobile apps and, of course, for tablets. And we had seven platforms we supported. And, you know, so we came up with Seven Tablets, kind of a cool, kind of a cutting-edge name.
And then do you morph the company? You still doing that?
Well, you know, here's what's happened. You know, we became an excellent mobile app company. You know, most entrepreneurs in Dallas or SiriusXM, PepsiCo, they come to us. We do their mobile platforms. But they wanted us to do more. They said, you know what? The mobile's great, but let's start doing some bigger projects. And so we just kind of morphed like Federal Express into FedEx. People start calling us 7T. Next thing you know, we become 7T, honestly.
Well, and then you can pivot and catch whatever wind is blowing.
That's what we believe. I mean, the concept of the tablets kind of pigeonholed a little bit what we used to be. And honestly, the company's grown far beyond that to something that's doing, you know, major ERP projects and full-blown entire company systems as opposed just to mobile.
And I know you've, over your career, you've spent a lot of time helping other entrepreneurs, and I guess investing in some of these along the way. And I know there's a 7T Foundation. So tell me, did everything just go to a complete halt when the pandemic hit on these entrepreneurs?
You know what? It didn't. And entrepreneurs are entrepreneurs for a reason. They're hustlers and they're scramblers. And by the way, I love the city of Dallas, and I can tell you, I can spend 10 minutes on that. But the concept of we had this great entrepreneurial strong community in Dallas, and we're happy to support them. And so what happens is it was confusing the first couple of months. We were all panicking. But you know what? Everyone pulled together, had a new operating procedure, a new operating model, and we kept moving to such a degree that we've actually launched two startups during the pandemic, and I'm very proud of that.
Really? What are they, companies that are somehow related to the pandemic, or is it just coincidental?
Coincidental. I mean, they kind of pushed through it. You know, we were on the middle of something, and startups are our passion. You know, we have big clients and we love them, but we get excited about the startup. The guy who walks in with an idea, with a concept, with a knowledge, we want to help that person and not just do coding. We want to help them build their business and help them consult with them along the way.
You know, one of the challenges that I'd heard for entrepreneurs, and especially for people who are in the position to invest in budding companies, is they didn't see an exit strategy. You know, the market would not tolerate initial public offerings, especially from, you know, little startup companies. And and so they didn't invest because they couldn't see a way out. They would sort of be in the business for long term. Boy, that's changed. And now it seems like we're seeing an IPO, or the new thing is a SPAC, a special purpose company that just comes public left and right. Does this help the cause?
You know, absolutely. You know, one thing we help with the entrepreneurs when they come into us with a gleam in their eye and an idea is we help them do a business plan. And that business plan, of course, assumes an exit strategy. And if we got to help them do that thing, build the whole system. And that's a big part of our foundation program we do, is not just dev, but business plan planning, exit strategy, the whole concept.
Tell me about, you talked a little bit about, you know, loving Dallas. And despite the fact that you did time with Austin Ventures, I know, but you know, we've seen all this relocation at Oracle and Tesla, and all of a sudden everybody's going to Austin and they're saying that's the tech center. Don't we have more tech employees up here than they do down there?
You know, we absolutely do. And people forget about that. You know, I'll give you one example. It's like SiriusXM. You know, there's 1,000 technical resources here in the Metroplex for SiriusXM. And I can list 20 companies like that. And what's happening is it's the oak tree concept, David. You have a lot of smart people in one place. They stop dropping seeds, and that's how startups come along. And that's what we're doing.
But then why does Austin get the reputation that they have?
Well, you know, there's a couple of things. And I think if you look at it from the standpoint of culture fit, you know, some of the Silicon Valley companies, and that's the couple you mentioned are Silicon Valley companies, they're going to Austin because of that cultural fit, that they see things like there in the way of life and the lifestyles that they kind of drawn more to. But if you've noticed, a lot of the big transplants that are not completely tech-focused choose Dallas, and that'd rather be Amazon or Toyota. Those companies still come here, but some of the alternatives still like the Austin lifestyle and the Austin theory. At least my opinion, anyway.
We just went through part of your resume, but you've done lots of different things, and from management to hands-on and startup. So, given all that, what background should a successful lifetime entrepreneur have? What sort of education should they have? What should they study?
What an interesting question. I can't really say there's one path to it, but engineering disciplines are always a great start. That's why I think the STEM initiatives are so massive. Being a father of a daughter myself and having several nieces, we push STEM a lot in our houses because it gives a good technical background to build anything off of.
What about the ability to communicate?
Definitely important. And, when an entrepreneur comes to us, we look for two things. This sounds crazy, David. We want that idea. We want that passion. We want that concept. But more importantly, we want innate knowledge of the domain, meaning they have to come in. They have to understand the problem. Can I give you a quick analogy?
Sure.
We had a company come to us basically called Ready, Set, Pour. They wanted to automate the concrete industry. What they wanted to do is automate the entire process from a contractor pulling a concrete to a highway to delivery of contract and automate it, all automated with a phone, push button, click. I say Uber for contract flippantly, but it really was. And they had a great concept and idea, but we went with them. We developed the product. We invested in the company because they knew the domain. They spent 25 years in the business, and they knew what they were doing.
And they knew what was needed.
Those concepts. Yeah. Absolutely. They had problem definition down perfectly. And most successful entrepreneurs we see, they nail that part. They have problem definition down completely. They've lived it. They know it. They feel the pain. Those are the guys who are solving the problems.
So when you're looking for an investment, mm-hmm. aside from just you like somebody and you're going to help them out, you're going to make money ultimately. Do you go for lots of singles and doubles, or are you always looking for the home run?
We're not. We take a lot of good doubles around here. When someone comes into us and we see a plan that, okay, here's the company, they need about $1 million to get in. We see an exit strategy of $5 to $8 million in 2 to 3 years. We do that deal. We do the deal every time, not just dev, but we'll also invest in that business.
So what's the next big thing? Is it still Internet of Things?
We are big believers in IoT, across the board. But more importantly, we're bigger believers in really the move to cloud computing. And the concept of, local processing is just not going to be happening anymore. More and more cloud storage, more and more cloud computing. Initiatives like Snowflake, which David, I'm sure you've heard about, is sweeping the country. And these on-demand services in the cloud are going to make much less importance on your basic devices and more on cloud stuff.
Was there a setback the other day when it was disclosed that it seems like every major department in the U.S. government was hacked? And it was through, in essence, a cloud service.
It was. I think it was a wake-up call for all of us. I think we all kind of took a step back and said, wow, if it happened there, it can happen anywhere. And what it's going to make us do is kind of reevaluate, what securities we're doing and what's happening. And I think one thing you're going to see more of is really the biometric identification is not being used enough in onboarding cloud and onboarding services. And you're going to see more of that. You're going to see another checkpoint before you're allowed to log into your systems here in the next 12 to 18 months.
Maybe that's the next big thing. somebody who comes up with the next one. Shane Long is the president of 7T and involved in a lot of the startups that are around the area. We wish you all the best. Have a great and much, much better even 2021, all right?
Dave, it's a pleasure speaking with you. Have a great afternoon.
Thanks a lot. For more of our conversation with Mr. Long, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson. News Radio 1080 KRLD.